Just before we start this podcast, I just want to have a message from one of our sponsors. One of our main sponsors is Apeiron Clothing, where you can get premium golf wear at discounted prices. Check out our website at www.apeiron-clothing.com. Enjoy the podcast.
Welcome back to another episode of the Bogey Boys podcast.
This is season 3, episode 2, European Heroes. You're joined here by Kevin and Mark, as always. That intro was not the same as last week. And we will be back next week to review the other two and bring a more consistent one moving forward. How are you?
Mine was consistent. It's just you.
I don't think it was,
I started with Legends last time.
Yeah, welcome back, Legends.
Fuck's sake.
Oh my God. In fact, actually, what was that? Sort of thinking about it.
We're a bit rusty, aren't we? Getting back into the swing of things.
How are you?
I'm good, yeah. Well, my mouth's not the best. I've got a bit of an tooth infection.
Have you not had that fixed?
No. Well, do you know what? I'm trying to lose a bit of weight, aren't I? So... We weigh ourselves every Monday, don't we? Obviously,
we are doing this
today. So, I've lost 1.4 kilograms.
Nice.
So, I'm going to keep tracking it. It's all about accountability. I know we do this every January, but let's see if we can at least keep it going until Saudi.
Let's just keep it going till forever.
Oh, yeah.
So, you're dropping down grids and all that.
Yeah.
Kilo a week. Where would that get you sitting at the end of the year?
What, 52 kilos, wouldn't it?
Yeah, a bit much there.
Rocket science to work that out.
No, I'm thinking, where would you be sitting? 75? That's low, that.
What am I now? 124.
Yeah. Kilo a week, though. Like, it doesn't sound unattainable, does it, really? Think about
it's just
it.
One, isn't it?
It's one.
One number. Let's go for it.
Yeah.
It's a target, at least.
Like they say, day at a time, workout at a time, gym session at a time, but diet at a time.
The purpose of me explaining that was... my tooth's really sore and I can't chew on the right hand side at the moment. So I've been just eating loads of soup and I'm not going to the dentist until I've lost a bit more weight. So I'm just going to see how long. I've sort of ingrained the pain now, so I can deal with this pain. And I think the less I can chew.
You need to watch you don't do yourself a bit of long term.
Don't know.
Sure. Mouth wide shut and all that, can you?
I don't know, but that's the consensus anyway. I'm okay.
So you haven't changed, have you, really? Because I remember in college, Danny Jones, he had something wrong and he was like, yo, I haven't eaten in like a week. I think I've lost about a stone. And you were going, breathe on me. Breathe on me. I want to get it. Anything but a little shortcut.
You know, you've got to try everything, haven't you?
It's good though, isn't it? If it's like, obviously your tooth's in pain and it's not the best, but if you...
A couple of things. I listened to the Stephen Bartlett podcast and he's done it with this guy. I can't remember his
Tim
name.
Spector.
Tim Spector, maybe. Yeah, that does ring a bell. He was talking, you've listened to it, haven't you? So you know, but for the listeners, he's talking about what's good for you, what's bad for you. And, you know, I don't really look into it too much because you've also got to think about your lifestyle, haven't you? Do you know what I mean? You can't just stand there all day chopping up vegetables and cooking things. And sometimes when you're constantly doing things on the go, you can't meal prep. I know these are just excuses, but ultimately talks about having 30 plants a week.
Yeah.
And talks about drinking black coffee. So one thing I have changed is I'm starting to eat more plants and drink more black coffee. So I've come away from the milk and the sweeteners in my coffee.
Well, if you have two coffees a day with milk in, you're probably on nearly 2 liters of milk a week. I don't know. I'm just guessing. Like,
no, but it makes sense, yeah.
14 coffees. Like at least a litre, aren't you?
Yeah.
So a litre of milk versus not a litre of milk, it's going to be better, isn't it?
Well, that's it. I listened to that podcast and that was just one of the changes that I thought, you know what, that's a quick change to implement. I drink coffee all the time, so let's just try the black. It wasn't the best to start with, but I'm used to it now. And
it's nice, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it gives it like, when you go back to having milk, it's like you haven't even got coffee.
Like cream.
You need to put like 3 or 4 scoops in it now, like get through a proper coffee beast like me.
So that's some of the changes I've made, you know, not going to the dentist to sort my tooth out so I can eat more soup, having black coffee, and 1.4 kilos off. So we'll see.
Just shows you, though, like even on that podcast, he says like anything in a packet is necessarily being adapted or processed to out of its natural form or they've had to do, or anything that says diet, they've had to do something to the natural, like, sugar of it or something to make it.
Yeah, because he's talking about diet drinks being worse than normal.
Yeah, because sugar.
I've always went for the Pepsi Max or the Diet Coke. When
yeah, but sugar, like, obviously, you get refined sugars, you've had to do something to it still, but, like, sugar, obviously, is still a natural sort of plant. But then when you go diet, you're taking the sugar out to put something else in, like an additive or a sweetener, and they're still made in a lab, so it's worse for your body. Might not be worse in sugar, because sugar's the devil, or like as the it's demonized at the minute, isn't it?
Yeah.
So anything like that, but anything in a packet. So then basically he says, like, when you go to the petrol station, and straight after I listened to it, me and you were going to Manchester, and it's like you go to the petrol station and you've got 10,000 snacks just looking at you in packets.
Come here.
And I walked in the garage and I was like, there's lion bars, like the lion was coming alive. Like the Cheetos fella was like letting on and that. I was just like, ah, get me out of here. But no, it's that impulse though when you're actually in the garage and you're like, you feel like just grabbing something quick. As soon as you're out there and you're back in the car, you're like, you're not craving anything in there.
Yeah, it's like you've got away from it all. Yeah.
It's like, yeah, it's like you're being chased.
Yeah, exactly. But like, that's another thing. I listened to that David Goggins podcast as well. Not podcast, sorry, Audible. He's brought out a new book and I've started listening to that. And he talks about, and it reminded me of the chimp paradox as well. And obviously the split decision, split second decisions that you make, which are obviously bad for you. You know, there's always that person talking in your head saying, do this, do this, do this. And Dunk McCarthy's just released a video talking about the exact same thing. It's crazy how these things all seem to come to you at once, isn't it? So,
but you know what? The more books you read, the more people have adapted the same thing. Like, you've got the chimp paradox, you've got the ego mind, you've got like a books where about talking about like addictions and impulses, and they call it or the monkey mind, the egoic brain. Like, it's all like the devil and the angel, the good and the bad. It's the same thing. It's just, it's the easy choice versus the hard choice.
Yeah, well, David Goggins talks about in his military training, when he was going for the Navy SEALs in his training, and talking about obviously that when you're in that cold water and it's like your mind's constantly telling you, get out, you'll be fine. And when he's obviously done the trials, he's failed them before he eventually passed through. And at the times he got out, went to the changing room, got a shower, and then all of a sudden he feels fine. It's like, why didn't you put yourself through and push yourself through it? And he's like, those 1 second impulses. It's the same for like when you go in and go to grab a biscuit, or go to grab a bar of chocolate, or go to grab something. These are things that I do on the daily without even thinking about. And then I'll go to the gym, I'll work my ass off in the gym all week, and then I'll stand on the scales and go, fucking hell, why is nothing changing? And it's only now, from obviously learning more about these books and reading the chimp paradox and understanding, like, these decisions, you can control them. So you can stop yourself from maybe grabbing that biscuit. You've just got to take a step back. And David Goggins talks about it from a 1 second perspective. There's always that one split second that you can make a choice and make a decision that can be quite catastrophic in the long run. It's one biscuit now, then it's two biscuits, and you're not thinking of the consequence of doing it. But as soon as you stop taking that biscuit, then the next time you go, you've already done it once, you know you can do it again. And you start training your mind that that's not something that you need to do each time. And it's these little tiny changes, like not having milk in me coffee, eating more soup for me dinner rather than going for a pack of processed something.
Yeah, but what else are you doing? Every time you get a cue, you see it, you get a craving, you make the decision, and then you cure the craving. Like, that's a pathway that you're building in your brain that says every time you see, like, you go to the garage, you get a snack, you go to, like, the dinner bell rings and it's dinner time, your mind it automatically expects the reward. So when you're
back to that other one, wasn't it? The atomic habit.
It's the same thing, yeah. So basically when you get your cue and you're craving, and because your tooth, you're not making the impulse, and you're not thinking, you're unwiring all the habits. So you're actually making new pathways in your brain that say you don't need it. Well, it's like, remember we had the man PT and he was talking about Maslow's or Pavlov's dog or something, and the experiment was it, or I might get this wrong, but every time the bell rang, there'd be food.
It was mice, wasn't it?
Was it mice? I thought it was the dog, but we'll fact check that. So basically, when the bell goes, it's dinner time. So the bell goes and it's dinner, and then as soon as the bell goes, the dog automatically starts salivating because it knows that there's food coming. And it's the same thing in your brain. Like, whatever you're used to having something with something, Like, you go out for, you don't have dessert, you go out for a meal and you have dessert three times. The next time you go for a meal and you don't get the dessert, your cravings will be hitting you because your body is expecting dessert because your mind's hardwired for that reward. Great books, then, which people people should read them.
Yeah, so between having toothache, eating less food, drinking black coffee, listening to podcasts, reading books, it's been a productive week. How's yours week been?
Great, yeah. I didn't get in the gym. I went for a run and played golf with you.
We did, yeah. We played Sunday.
Oh, my birthday as well, actually, wasn't
happy
it?
Happy birthday.
Nice one. Yeah. Nice that we're born a little week between, innit? Just like on evidence, January's depressing, January's this, January's that. I'm like, January, boss.
Yeah, we have a good January. Great.
But you're born on the 6th, I'm born the 13th, and then Lee, our other best mate, is born on the 15th.
Yeah.
Now it's depressing.
But there is light at the end of the tunnel because when we step into February, Saudi's confirmed. We mentioned it briefly last week, but
yeah,
flights are confirmed. We're just waiting for visas and we're going over to work on the Aramco Ladies Series event, which
should be a bit of fun there.
Yeah, we've obviously the LPGA Tour kicks off this season. We'll come on and talk a little bit about that tournament later. But after this tournament of champions on the LPGA Tour, the next event is going to be the Saudi Aramco Series event. So,
and in the mix of that, we'll obviously come on to it next week or the week after. We've got the men's Saudi, which the field looks stacked, doesn't it?
Yeah, very stacked. But before we do move on, obviously, one of our good friends, Connor, who's been on the podcast on a number of occasions, we spoke to him about his experience at the Hero Cup and caught up with him about the season he's had with Richard Mansell, haven't we? So yeah, just sit back and listen to our chat with Connor. Back on the podcast, Connor Winstanley, our good friend.
Hi, boys. You all right?
Yeah, all good, mate. Thanks for coming back on and joining us. Where are you at the moment?
No worries. I'm in a hotel in Abu Dhabi at the HSBC Abu Dhabi Championship to start, well, not start our year off, played last week, but start our individual year off.
Unbelievable, eh?
Some
season, hasn't it, mate?
From there. It has, to be fair. Yeah, it really has. Career changing, really, for Rich and obviously myself. Unbelievable, to be fair.
Was that your first tournament back together,
was it? Yeah. It was, and at the time, Rich didn't have any real main tour status. He was going to get maybe like 10 to 15 events.
Having that pint with Loco has really changed your both your lives.
No, absolutely.
You've been blessed by the bogey boys in person.
Yeah, we've seen one half short game. Like, it must have been the short game. Getting up and down from everywhere, the lad. We're not going to talk about how he keeps putting himself there, but like he keeps getting up and down.
No, we don't count the duffs.
The only reason I'm so good is because I'm there every hole. Like,
he's used to shipping from Narnia. Like,
that's it. Yeah, but no, it was a good season, like you mentioned there as well. Obviously, the first major, well, first major outside of the UK. I know you played in the Open, but
first
US Open, wasn't it? So, talk us through all that whole experience. Then the US Open, first one. What was it like?
For starters, like, it's just playing golf over there is nuts. Like, it was in Boston, and in the same week, the Red Sox were at home, and the NBA Finals was in Boston as well. It was them versus the Golden State Warriors. So at that time, it was like unbelievable for Boston. The place was just bouncing. Like, the city's amazing as it is, but the place was just bouncing with sports fans. So it was rammed there. The golf course itself is, have you ever watched The Greatest Game Ever Played?
Yeah.
That's where that was. So, like, it was just full of history, like Francis Wimet on the boards and stuff, or like the old pictures. And so I've kind of like, I rewatched the film on the flight just to give myself like a bit more like the old goosebumps and stuff when we got there. And then we got there jet lagged like mad, absolutely knackered. But I was like, I've got to go around this full golf course. Like, I've got, like, I just, like a kid at Christmas, went and nailed the merchandise shop.
I've seen,
you just got to get it done. Oh, you got to get unbelievable. The golf course itself was incredible. The whole vibe at the US Open, like, there was 30 to 40,000 people in a practice round, like, on a Monday. It's just obscene, like, just shouting. They're all drunk, still with Bud Light, just smash shouting, just all sorts of stuff. Unbelievable, to be fair.
Sounds exactly like where we should have been standing there.
Yeah, exactly. You boys have been all over that there. it was unreal. I think, like, when you watch on TV and you hear the old mashed potatoes and stuff, and I suppose if you play week in, week out in the States, like, you'd get pretty sick of it. But to experience that for the first time, like, I thought it was unreal. But
yeah, they are proper sports fans, the Americans, aren't they? Like,
yeah. Especially like Boston as well. It's like a massive sports kind of city, isn't it? So I think that was a quite obviously great kind of toe in the water to what it's like in America. Obviously, like an unbelievable US Open, really, obviously, with Fitzy winning. Incredible. Yeah, absolutely loved it. Hopefully, there's a few more of them to come.
It's like the Americans. They want the fans to have 6 or 7 pints and get lady and make an atmosphere. But when it goes to 7 to 10 pints, everyone just starts shouting madness. They draw the line.
That's true. Yeah. No, unbelievable. Obviously, then doing the Open a bit later in the year and stuff. I think one thing that if you don't hit it to 3 feet in the States, it's almost like you get nothing because they're so used to just like insane golf and stuff.
I play with Kev, fan base.
It's not as good. Yeah, brutal.
Brutal, yeah. He only cheers the shots that go left.
Yeah. The way you keep getting up and down from.
That's it, exactly that.
Yes, and then too. Buckner was chatting about him today, actually. He spoke to Alex. He was saying on the thing.
Okay, we're going to go and see him. Alex, yeah. We're going to go arrange to go down and see him, yeah. Do a podcast and a bit of him.
Unbelievable.
Bit of film.
He always has something. Like today, he always seems to pull out a little golden nugget every now and then, every time I'm with him. Today, he pulled out one again. It's just, the guy's knowledge is a joke, to be fair. Like, I don't really like patting him on the back that much, but he's unbelievable. Like, his job.
Yeah, no, we're looking forward to going down. We said we'll do a bit of an go through a little bit of a short game, like tutorial for the video for the YouTube, and then we'll do a podcast with them while we're down there. Yeah,
unreal. Yeah, unreal. Yeah. What Alex has done in the world of golf has been obviously really good too, as well. He's established himself now as a coach out on tour and stuff. From us first going for a lesson with him in Swinley Forest when he was there, like Rich's progression pulled him on. Everyone's looking at Rich's short game. Alex is more and more players are inquisitive to Alex and stuff, and it's just, I suppose that's how it works. And now Alex has got a really good set of players out here.
Definitely, and without getting too cheesy, it is quite inspirational. Though we talk about it all the time, obviously watching your guys' journey throughout the ranks, obviously seeing where you've come from to where you are now, and all the hard work in between. It's unbelievable, isn't it?
Ah, mate, 100%. Yeah, I think like you forget sometimes, like you kind of draw back on the clock, and it's not that long ago we were pegging it up at Portal when the Europro event and stuff like that. And to be last week in a team with Tommy Fleetwood, Shane Lowry, and Tyrrell Hatton, it's like, what's going on here, boys? I remember I FaceTiming mum and the missus on the first night, and was like, I was like in just disbelief, to be honest. I was kind of a bit like, I'm not really supposed to be here. Like, sat chilling with Finno and Tommy and guys like Bo and Shane and then Mick and Tyrrell. I'm like, it's not shit. Obviously, Seamus and Simon and all these kind of guys. You're like, what is going on here? Like, it's not that long ago we was paying £2.50 for range balls before we teed off in the Europro event and that.
Yeah, it's levels, in it. You've climbed the ladder beautifully, haven't you? Since we first done a pod with you both.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, I think that in all fairness, Kev, I think that's probably like the coolest bit about it all is the fact that like we've done it together. I suppose like we've ticked off everything kind of together to where we are, and hopefully we keep ticking off and keep. Well, if he keeps going at this rate he's been on, it'll be that'll be pretty hard to keep up. But hopefully we can keep keep improving and we keep building blocks. And it's crazy. Well,
you got that added incentive this year, haven't you? You have a top 10 on the rankings. You get your card, don't you, for the PGA Tour?
Yeah,
so
exactly,
then you're at the biggest level you can get to, really, innit? Playing for the big books every week. I know it's not always about money, but you're playing against the best players in the world, etc.
Absolutely, yeah. That's obviously one of the goals for the year. If we can get hold of one of them, that'd be a successful season. There's no reason why not. His golf's good enough. It's just hopefully we can put all the pieces together, and at the end of the year, hopefully we can get ourselves one of them.
What's been the biggest change then? Obviously, from where we said, obviously, Euro Pro caddy into the Challenge Tour, and then obviously from going back to the Belfry when we didn't know what start you were going to get, and now having a full card.
Rich has always been, he's confident in himself. He's not afraid to be confident, which first and foremost in an individual sport, you have to be. I think if you shine away from stuff, I think that'll breed into your golf game. And I think if you're not confident on taking these boys on, then there's no point being here because essentially you've got to beat them to do well. He's never been afraid of being confident with that. He's did things earlier on in his pro career that set himself up for now, so it wasn't big changes. For instance, like employing me on Europro, coming straight out of uni, giving me the opportunity. He got used to working a caddy at third tier golf, not when you get to the main tour. So he'd play Euro Pro with a caddy, Challenge Tour with a caddy, Main Tour with a caddy, which is like, he's already used to that environment. So many guys play Euro Pro with no one, Challenge Tour with no one, get to the Main Tour and it's all of a sudden, right, I've got to start working with a caddy now. How does that work? He never did that. He kind of set himself up the foundations to be where he's at now. And obviously he's worked with Liam for a long time, dipped in and out with Mike Kansky, which is solidified with Mike now. Alex Buckner worked with him for a long time. His psychologist, Tom King, he's kept things very similar. And I think in all fairness, that's a big credit to him because he knows his formula that works and it clearly just keeps getting better and better. So I think that's one thing
he's really right.
Absolutely, yeah, for sure. It didn't make big change. I think so many people make big changes. I've got to do this, I've got to do that. Or he does this, he does that. I think obviously spending time with them boys last week as well proved that actually you just got to do what suits you. Yeah. You've got to do what's right for Tyrrell, what's right for Shane, what's right for Tommy, what's right for Rich. Don't be doing what's right for Shane if you're rich kind of thing. It's a very individual sport. Like, you know damn well, like some guys would love to be on a range till 10:30 at night like a Norrin. Other guys want to be like a Brooks Koepka and never be seen or whatever. You've just got to do what suits you. And I think he's really good at knowing that and really good at sticking to that, which has definitely been an aid to his progression for sure.
The relationships are at the end of the day. So the longer you're in them, you know, if you go to pick a top psychologist or a top coach who's meant to be good, if you're not, you don't know them, you're taking advice. So you might not trust them, or you might not like what they're saying or accept the way they're saying it. It might have a different way. They don't know you. And it's, as you say, sticking with all them from the start, right the way up. You've got 3-4 years of knowing exactly who each other are
and what works as well.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I think the beauty of it is what the coaches and the people Rich had in his team were already like established out here. So it was almost like a bit of a motivational thing for him to see these guys more. He'd have to get on tour, which he uses a bit of a motivational tool. For instance, like Liam James, he's coaching some of the best players in the world. He's not going to be coming to Europe or at a portal. You might see him back home, but if you want to spend more religious time with Liam, you're going to have to get out here. The same with Kansky and so forth. Like, you're going to have to up it to get to see him more and more. And I think that was a good motivational tool for Rich at the start when he was still working on these boys, but not as much and not as regular as he does now, to actually get here to see them as well. So I just, if I'm honest, like, if I was to chat to like an aspiring pro on your pro or aspiring golfer, like Rich's blueprint of how he's got to where he is now, you'd have to really like take some key nuggets out of that for sure, like the way he's done it.
Yeah. No, definitely. He's took that route, hasn't he, that everyone talks about, you know, the taking the hard way, starting at the bottom tier, graduating again. And then cementing himself, obviously nearly getting his win a couple of times last season. Obviously the Dunhill being the standout one, wasn't it?
Yeah.
But then obviously getting his all experience, isn't it, moving forward to get some wins this year?
Yeah, it is 100%, yeah. That's obviously hopefully the next piece to the jigsaw, tick off a win. But obviously, how difficult it is to win against these boys and how much things have got to go right in your favour and stuff. And it didn't quite happen for us last year. Hopefully this time we can cross the line. And that's definitely the next step in his golf career for sure.
He's done enough knocking on the door, hasn't he? Now it's time for someone to answer, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I think so. And fingers crossed, he's done some great stuff over the winter. He's putting himself in good, like he's in great shape with his golf game. Like, I don't see any reason why not this season can't be his year to tick off a maiden win. Yeah,
1,000,000%. We had Matty Baldwin on, and he said, when you're out on the European Tour, DP World, as it is now, you've got to work your ass up to stand still. Have you noticed anything in Rich's game where from Euro Pro through Challenge to now where he's working even harder or putting more effort in, or is it just a testament to time?
Yeah, definitely, Kev. I think for starters, the facilities are miles better, so you can do more productive things. But if I'm honest, the one key area of his golf game, which has come on leaps and bounds, is definitely his putting. We work heavily on holing out and understanding how important it is just to, whether that's 6 footers for a par or for a birdie, capitalising on a good shot or saving a bad shot. It's just massive to keep the rounds going and stuff. I think in his earlier days, he'd missed quite a lot of opportunities, whereas now, like, you've really got to keep ticking over them because these golf courses are that hard and you're playing against players that are that good. You miss them, someone else is making it. It's as simple as that. So we work really hard on the putting side of things. He's worked really hard with Mike, done some really, really good things ever since the Belfry, really.
The stars aligned at the Belfry, innit? Mark was there, Kansky's there, you're there.
Yeah, like, absolutely, like... yeah, it's all going on. It's all going on.
I was speaking to Mike on the Friday night at the Open after Richard made that big, huge putt. Was it on 17, was it? Made a long putt, and that was ultimately what made him the cut, wasn't it? So,
oh, mate, class, yeah, absolutely. Spent a hell of a long time with Mike that week because obviously it was so burnt out, you were just putting from everywhere. I remember the putter actually bent 1.5 degrees because of the amount of like putts he'd hit from long distance. The putter face had bent and added 1.5 degrees in it, so we had to have it bent back a week later just because of the severity of how hard you've got to hit the ball all the time from miles off the greens because of how tight the turf is. It's kind of a bit like this week, to be fair, how fast the greens are, and which we'll get into or whatever. It's just like putting off the green now seems to be on these kind of courses that are firm and fast. These boys have got to have unreal touch going through different cut lengths and stuff. So, yeah, it's a testament to Mike, the shape he got Rich in, obviously, for the Open as well.
Yeah, no, definitely. Well, look, before we do get on to Yaz Links and this week, you mentioned there mixing it with the likes of Tommy, Shane, Tiddle. Talk to us about the week you've just had at the Hero Cup.
Oh, yeah, and unbelievable, to be fair. Like, we got there on the Tuesday morning. I had arranged to walk the course with Finno. Finno's won there twice, so I thought there's no real better person to walk this golf course with. We've walked the golf course, we've come back in, and then they said at 4 o'clock the team room will open. Didn't really know what was going to be on the other side. It was like this big unveil. I actually checked into the hotel first, got in my room. There was a clove rack with all my outfits for the week, which was just like mental. You've got to wear this on practice, wear this on pro-am, wear this on Friday, Saturday, Sunday, little booklet there. And just that was like a bit surreal to start with. And then the team room opened at 4 o'clock, and you go in and you see all the players down the left-hand side, and the right-hand side had straight opposite was all the caddies' names, and had all your stuff in there, which was unbelievable touch. Like, I don't think any of us thought there was going to be anything like that. Just unreal. Like, they couldn't do enough for you for the week.
Yeah, memories for life, innit? You know what I mean? It's good that they've taken the time to look after the caddies as well, because, you know, it is a team environment, isn't it? And the caddies an essential part of that team, isn't it? So bringing us together, the same locker room, I imagine that's where the team talks took place as well. Obviously, seeing Tommy's speech that he'd done as well, that got released on the social media and stuff. So just looked like a really good way to build up for what's to come in September in Rome, isn't it?
Yeah, for sure, yeah. I think one of the best things about the week for me is like I was the youngest caddy there in the group. Rich is obviously a newcomer to kind of that setup. It was kind of like we didn't know if we were going to stick out like a sore thumb. We didn't know if we were going to be like a bit outcasted from an already kind of solidified group of lads. But they were unreal. Like all the players, all the caddies, like we just felt part of the team straight away, straight in there. Any advice you wanted, chat away to the boys. They'd never snub a question. They'd be there to help. They'd be absolutely unbelievable. Tom himself was unreal for that as well, like chatting away. Even on the night before the tournament started, there was a note in my room. He'd handwritten a note to every player and caddy in the room. And it just said, like, basically, like, he's made up to be on the team with us and, like, buzzing to be our captain. Congrats on a great season and look forward to watching yours and Rich's rising golf throughout the years, and that was just a really classy touch from Tom. Like, throughout the week, it was just fantastic being in and around those guys, seeing how they operate, seeing what they do day in, day out in that environment. It's just an experience you can't buy, an experience that you can't watch on YouTube, you can't Netflix series or whatever. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you can't, like, I'm absolutely like hands on with these boys, just incredible, really. Like,
It did look every bit of incredible, yeah. And obviously, nice touch to get out with Ewan as well, close friend of Rich and yourselves as well.
100%, yeah. Obviously, straight away, that's a comfy environment for Rich. He was obviously comfortable playing with Ewan. They both got similar games to a degree. They're both similar guys, getting excited, fist pumping away, third hole in on a Friday and stuff. And
I seen that, yeah. It looked quite... I didn't know what to expect with it because it was the first one. Whether it was going to be quite friendly, because essentially it is Team Europe as a whole, isn't it? But, you know, it did look quite tasty and competitive, didn't it?
Yeah, I thought, I'll be honest, I thought the same. I was like, is Shane, is Tommy, is Tyrrell, are they going to be like mad up for this? The same way like us and you were all mad up for it. And 100% they were, like, for sure. Absolutely. I think that kind of like fed into us as well, which was incredible, like to see how pumped them guys were for it as well. Because we were kind of thinking like, surely these aren't going to be that fired up as much as us. But I mean, they definitely were.
It's one of them though, you're there, aren't you? So you might as well enjoy it and try and go out there and have the most fun and be the most excited, as if it is a rider. Because it's essentially, like Donald's watching, he's looking to pick his team in September. If someone puts on a show and they're exciting and animated and they're good to have around the environment, then they're going to get a pick, aren't they?
Absolutely, you're exactly right, Kev. Absolutely. I think it's especially, at the end of the day, representing Great Britain and Ireland. How many opportunities you get to represent Great Britain and Ireland in golf? The Walker Cup, which is amateur. You don't really in the pro ranks. Once you turn pro, there's next to no team golf, is there, other than the Ryder Cup and President's Cup? Exactly. So I think having that opportunity is just unbelievable. Like that team golf setting is so good. Like you come off the golf course when you first start and you're on the TV and you're cheering on other putts. Usually you want everything to miss. Yeah. Like in that environment, because you kind of, you don't want anyone going past you on the leaderboard or whatever. Whereas you come back and you're like, go on, like, go on Chinquin or go on Wallace and whatever. And these guys, I'll be honest, I've never cheered on to hold a putt in my life. But this, obviously, this time you're absolutely buzzing, like, which I think was unreal.
No, definitely. And you know, essentially a lot of pressure on everyone involved as well, because this was the first one at the Hero Cup. Obviously, the last time we had something like this was the Seve Trophy decade ago, wasn't it? So, you know, a lot of pressure to set the scene moving forward, and obviously definitely
it was, and light. I think if I'm honest, I think the standard of golf probably massively helped that out. I think it was absolutely phenomenal start to finish. We played against Molinari, Fran Molinari and Nikolai Horgaard first round. I think Hubo and Richard 4 under 5 under respectively in the four balls, and Rich has the hole of 5 foot putt on the last for a half. Yeah. The next day, Nikolai and Fran, I think, went the 36 holes in foursomes without dropping a shot, which is insane in that format, considering you get next to no momentum. You might hit a putt once, and then you might not hit one for four greens. Or you might hit an iron shot on one. You might not hit another iron shot for 6 holes. So that is just a testament to the golf played. And even on Sunday, like we played Guido, we're 3 under through 10 holes, and we're 3 down.
Yeah.
We're 3 down walking onto the 11th, and we had a 15-foot putt on the 11th with about 3 foot of break in it. And that was the first putt Rich had to win a hole, and it's 3 under par.
It is, you're right, you go back to what you said before. It's the levels on that tour, isn't it? You know, you're playing again, you mix it with the best players in the world. Like 3 under sometimes doesn't cut it, does it? Like you say,
just hanging on, just 670. Yeah, you're hanging on at 3 under par, and you're like, this is around a golf course that is not easy. Like, there's a lot of strong holes here. There's a bit of wind out there. Like, the greens are so greeny. It's just the depth of how good these boys are is unbelievable. And realistically, you got to look at that Hero Cup team and both Hero Cup sides, and there's probably going to be, what, 4 or 5 guys max out of that who actually make the 12.
Yeah.
You've got to get a Rory in there. You've got Fitzies.
Hovland, Ram.
Hovland, exactly, yeah. And it's going to be, to think there's going to be 15, 16 guys who played in that, who miss out. The strength isn't as weak as people think it is when they compare it to the Americans. Like, that was a real eye-opener to me, definitely.
No, just going on. Sorry, just going on last time out, getting a whooping in it. Like, now the guard sort of changed. Now on it. So these new boys that are coming through, like, they're ready, aren't they?
Yeah, I mean, exactly. Yeah. You've got, like, the Horgaard brothers, the 21. It's incredible. Like, they're going to be here for years now. They're going to play loads of Ryder Cups. You've got Rich, who's burst on the scene. You've got guys like, who else you got? You've got class acts like Norrin, Ewan won twice. Norrin's finding his form again. Peters is playing a little bit better. He's already played a Ryder Cup. Like, Norrin's won singles matches in a winning Ryder Cup team. And you're like, actually, there's guys from different angles. There's fresh guys, and there's guys coming back. And even guys like Seb Straka, like, what a season he's had over there in America. Like, kind of unheard of, really, to most people. And then he's come out, he's like top 30 in the world. Like, he's a class act.
Yeah.
And you're going to have guys like Maronk, who's on the fringe, Bobby Mack on the fringe. The standard's unbelievable.
Yeah, and you know what? The likelihood is as well, knowing the tour as we know it, there's going to be a surprise package who comes through this season as well, isn't there? Someone's going to...
Oh, there is, 100%.
Another rising star.
100%. Absolutely. Fingers crossed it's us.
Got full faith in
you. Absolutely.
Definitely.
No, do you know what I was going to say then? Just get paid for it.
Yeah, there was prize money, yeah. But I think the best way of putting it was there wasn't that much of a gap between winning and losing to be financially motivated, if that makes sense. You was motivated to win for Great Britain, Ireland or Continental Europe and your teammates, essentially, which I thought was probably like the neatest thing about it all. Really, you was more them boys and more playing for, like, what does a Lowry, a Tommy, a Tyrrell, what do them boys need the money for? Like, it's more like it was actually, they put on a shirt and it was kind of like they're playing for us boys in that team room, which is just incredible, really.
I was more just thinking from your angle, if, like, obviously, say, if you were there and then Rich was going just to represent and then you've got to fund it all yourself. I just wondered.
You had your expenses paid for and stuff and you stayed in that 5-star hotel and didn't spend a penny all week and stuff, which is, again, unbelievable. Like,
well, fuck you there. I was making sure you were getting paid there. You're getting all 5-star luxuries.
No, I appreciate you looking out for me there, but yeah, we was red carpet out job, like, which
is on
Kong's looking for the Hero Cup every week now.
No, I know. We actually met Dr. Munjal, the owner, the CEO of the Hero company, and then me and Rich are, there's like this big kind of like speech going on. Me and Rich are like, Hero, they seem to be sponsoring everything, Tiger's event in the Bahamas. We've got the Dubai Desert Classic coming up, and me and Rich looking at it like Hero. Like, I don't know anyone who's got an Hero motorbike back home. So like, come on, we'll Google Hero. $537 billion that company's worth.
Wow.
We're both looking at each other like, what on earth? Like, we're not getting there, lad. No matter how good you get in this game, we're not getting there, kid. Just like, that is just insane amount of dough. Like, and even that, just mind blowing.
Blew my mind, didn't know it was a motorbike company. Sure, like, Hero don't own Harley Davidson.
That's what I mean, because I was like, if someone said motorbike, I'd just say, like, oh, a Harley Davidson. I ain't got a clue, like Yamaha or whatever. But Hero must be absolutely massive in Asia and Middle East and stuff.
That is mad.
Which no doubt it is.
Yeah, so obviously set the scene there nicely with the Hero Cup, and obviously where you have got to since, like we say, the Belfry there, that was the turning point, wasn't it? That top 10 finish. You have kicked on unbelievably from there. So now, obviously, you're at Yas Island. Talk to us a bit about this week's event then. Obviously, the first time he's a player in this one, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. First time I played this. He's only actually played one Rolex Series event before, which was last year's DP World Final, which is some feat in itself to get to DP World Tour Final, having not played a Rolex. I think two of the biggest events we have all year are the first 2 weeks out, which you've got to start quick and capitalise on the amount of points that's up for grabs early doors. Because we're playing for 8,000 points this week, and in a few months' time, South Africa, it's 2,000 points an event. So this is like 4 weeks in one, really, if you look at it that way. So realistically, a big start's needed. Yeah, even like my first time here on Yas Island, like, you've got the racetrack there, you've got the Warner Brothers Studios things, you've got the Ferrari world. Mad, mad place. And then I got told the other day that it was all like man-made, like it's a man-made island. Absolutely incredible place. The golf course is by far the best condition golf course I've ever seen. Like, not even remotely close.
Well, just to give the listeners a bit of a feel, what are we looking at this week on the course and stuff? What's the strategy?
Pretty wide fairways, nuts greens, mega slopy, mega fast, mega runoffs at the sides. Really massive high priority on approach play, getting in the right section of the greens, doing your homework good on the greens, knowing this is a good spot, you can't go here because you can't get to the flag this way, or you can use this contour. That's really where a winner at the end of the week will have done their job right on that. Again, putting greens, I think greens are rolling. I think it was 13 on the stint this morning, which in theory they always get quicker as the week goes on. You've got a tee box, which you've seen on social media, that's running at 10-4, was it 10-6?
Yeah, Michael Howie's in the video.
Ridiculous. You've got the range running at 8 on the stint, and I think like the testament to that is like, who even stint meters a range? Like, the stint meter at range at 8, like, I don't think, like, I mean, our greens don't get that good, and that's a range, so that's it's mad. The place is absolutely perfect, such an impressive facility. Couple putting greens that are massive, short game area, the range is first class. Golf course is amazing. I was saying, like, I don't think I've seen a set of par threes that are as good as these from like an aesthetics point of view. Like, it's an unbelievable golf course. I think it's maybe like 38th in the world or something, someone was saying. And it's in the best condition you'll ever see a golf course. So unbelievable, really. Hopefully the weather plays ball and we have a great week.
Yeah, because like you say there, in addition to the points on offer as well, obviously the field's enhanced, isn't it, with top-ranked players coming over. So there's a lot of world-ranking points now. There's a lot of controversy over how the world-ranking changes has impacted people's ability to climb those rankings when they're not on the PGA Tour. But it's a good opportunity, isn't it, these two events that you said, the Rolex ones, to try and potentially break 100%. In the top 100, get you a place in the PGA and, you know...
Exactly. No, you're exactly right. That's exactly that. It's Rich is what, 189 maybe in the world, something like that. These two events, if you want to try and get in the PGA, you're not going to have two better chances because, like you said, the world ranking points. The minute these two Rolex Series events finish, back to what's happened with the world ranking system to the European Tour, it's very, very difficult to breach into that top 100. I mean, you'd have to go on a Ryan Fox kind of spree, which Rich is obviously, he's capable of doing that, but it's a lot easier said here than actually done, isn't it? So you've got to try and capitalise on these 2 weeks to try and make as many points as you can to give yourself a good go at getting in that.
And like for the Rolex as well, this week, like there's not millions of big fish either, is there? Like it's still up for grabs. It's not out the question winning, really, is it, if you think about it?
No, you're 100% right, Kev, yeah. Historically, you kind of look at the field, there's no Hovland, there's no Rory. You still got Seamus Powers, you've still got Seamus Powers, Shane Lowry.
Obviously, you got the Live boys out the way.
Well, I mean, there are some of the boys here this week, but you're right. I think that's partly because of the stretch that's coming up in America, to be fair, like them elevated events, like Waste Management, Riviera, and they're playing for, what is it, 20 million event or something. I think I actually spoke with Aaron Rice, Caddy Jace, I think he said they're playing for 80 million in 4 weeks, which is just mind blowing. It's like them big boys want to plan their season and prepare well to be ready for them kind of stretches. And if that means not coming out here and playing in these events, you've got to do that, haven't you, in their position. So that's probably why the field maybe not quite as big name loaded as in past years.
That's been real, but then you talk about like Liv coming along. Without Liv, you wouldn't have them all at elevated events this year. Without the elevated events, that field would be more stacked. So it just gives an opportunity for like yourself, other players who are around that 200 mark to shoot up. As you said, 4 weeks in one. How many times do you see it where someone does well in a Rolex, does all right in a WGC, one major, and the top five on the DP World Tour rankings without even...
You're right. Absolutely, yeah. You'd have to... suppose like look at last year, like Thomas Peters wins early, he's up there forever, isn't he?
That's kind of exactly thing.
Vic Trevelyan wins early, he's up there forever. No, you're exactly right. I think that's the strange thing about it is, I suppose there's not a lot of sports where actually like the start of the season is arguably the biggest bit. It's not a lot of sports like that, is it? You look at the footy season, it's right at the end when the crunch time is or whatever.
We can't talk about
there is
football,
obviously. Yeah. There's obviously the Ned Bank and the
every game is a cup final now for Everton.
Yeah, it is anyway though, isn't it, to be fair. it's quite strange really. I think to have them the two biggest events of the season near enough right at the beginning. So yeah,
testament to last season though, innit, to give yourselves the opportunity to play in them. Because your back's against the wall if you don't start in these two events, like you say, you're chasing the pack, like, and that was the position you used with them last year.
100%, yeah. To not have the opportunity to play in them events is a severe disadvantage versus the lads that do get the chance. So now with the opportunity, fingers crossed, we can capitalise on that and give it a good crack at trying to get one of the cards, like we said before.
Million percent. Yeah, well, look, Conor, appreciate you coming on and speaking to us, and obviously you've got a busy week there. Wish you and Rich, obviously, the best of luck this week and throughout the season. We'll obviously catch up throughout the season, come and see you when it's possible as well.
When you're home.
Yeah, we got the British Masters, haven't we? And then we've got the Open near us boys, haven't we?
Yeah, we'll be there every day for that, yeah. Royal Liverpool.
We've got to get in that leg.
Yeah, definitely.
I've put an official form into the date of birth committee to change my girlfriend's date of birth because she's born on the 17th of July and it just keeps interfering with my plans.
Yeah. Come on, we're going to Liverpool for your birthday.
Royal I don't Liverpool. Know, St. Andrews last year.
You had to take it to St. Andrews last year.
Unreal. Class. Does she like it or is it?
Do you know what? Yeah, like she liked just looking at Tiger Woods, like, because there's not many other sports where you get to see the best player ever just like 2 yards away from you.
Right.
You watch Messi, Ronaldo, they're 10, 15 yards away, aren't they, at least?
No, you're right, yeah, 100%. Yeah, we had a little tiger moment there at the Open as well, which I'll never forget. Like, he, obviously, John Fairway, he was on the front, we were on the back, and next minute, we pulled left, he's pulled left with 5 yards away. Me and Richard just both looking at him like, oh, my God, do we go, does he go, what do we say, what's going on? And I'm like, and Tiger goes like that for us to go first, and we're both looking at each other like, I'm glad I'm not hitting this here.
I had a pipe this year. The golf shot, man. What a moment.
I had a pipe this year, kid. And he got it on a green, to be fair, which we were both just like looking at each other like...
Did Tiger say anything?
Not really. He just gave us the little, you boys go kind of thing. We're like, yeah, all right. We're chatting. Like, all right, Connor, how are you doing, lad? No, not that. No, it was none of that. No, it was unreal.
Boss. Well, look, legend as always, Con. Appreciate you taking the time, mate. And thanks a lot. We'll catch you very soon.
Go get him this week, boy.
Cheers, boys. See you soon.
Legend, isn't he? Just shows you, like, it's Rich just took a gamble on him. He's essentially took a gamble on Rich.
Yeah.
Probably self-funding at the start. And as you're saying there, he's obviously getting paid for getting five-star hotel treatments and all that. Yeah. I was worried about him there for a second. But no, it's the rise is unbelievable. And like we've just said there, it keeps knocking on the door. It's
one point that they did make as well, with what Connor made there, which is important for any upcoming professionals, is that, you know, Rich has built his team when he's first turned professional and starts. He's got his caddy. He's obviously got his coach with Liam. He's got a short game coach and his putting coach in Alex and Mike, and he's jumped up with them. So yeah, when he gets to the main stage, not much is changing around him. You know, he's comfortable with the person he's on the course with, in Connor, making decisions and helping him make decisions. And off the pitch, off the golf course, he's, you know, everything's as you would expect it, whatever level he's at.
Well, yeah, it goes from being you, yourself, and a white ball to you've got, as you said, a caddy, you've got putting coaches, you've got mental coaches. We've seen how many people have we seen when Chris Hansen was saying about changing equipment and all that, people around you making decisions. You're living that top pro lifestyle from a lower level, so there's no change. So it's worked for Rich, hasn't it?
It has, yeah. And as I say, onwards and upwards for both of them. We wish them the best of luck. He's given us some great insight into the course, and we'll come on to reviewing the actual golf. But let's have a little look at the golf that's just been the start with the Hero Cup. What an event it was. And as I say, by all accounts, it was an even great experience for the caddies as well as the players at this one.
Well, that's it. Like, it's obviously getting looked after by Hero and by the organisers. Like, just looking at the videos from the locker room and the team spirit, and everyone was up for it, it seemed. I think having this the same year as you've got the Ryder Cup at the end of it probably give everyone that extra little, like, got to do well here.
Yeah.
This, me doing well here, is going to stay in Donald's mind, and I could potentially get a pick based on that.
A point that Con alluded to there as well is important, is that, you know, the Ryder Cup team for Europe, there's probably 7 or 8, or we spoke about it in the past as well, that are already picked. So going into that event, your likes of your Robert McIntyre, Rich, Ewan, the Højgaard, and obviously Rasmus didn't play and Nicolai came in. But ultimately, they know there's 15, 14 of us here, and only 4 of us are getting in. So this is our chance, like you say, to perform in front of the captain, to show our team spirit, because it won't just be on the golf course that Luke's looking at them. He'll be looking at them off the field, what they're like.
Around the dressing room. Like, you could go and win 4 out of 4 matches, but if you're on your own, you're sitting there, there's no team element to you, you're boring. It's like, you know, you're bringing a negative atmosphere to the thing, although you'll get a few points, you're probably not worth it, are you, in the bigger picture?
And that was one thing that the European team was sort of missing at Whistling Straits, wasn't it? When you looked at the American team, obviously take away, there was a bit of Bryson and Brooks beef going on, weren't there?
Yeah.
At the time, and that was a hot topic going into the last Ryder Cup. But ultimately, their team spirit was there, wasn't it? The togetherness was there, you know.
Yeah.
They had everything going for them, and that's shown on the golf course when they absolutely whooped us. And I think now, like you mentioned on the pod, there's a changing of the tide. Now, the older generation have sort of pretty much being told they're not playing now because of the live ties. And I think it's pretty clear they're not going to qualify because there's not enough events for them. And Luke's not going to pick them, is he? So this is the opportunity for those guys from the Hero Cup, four or five of them, to take that step up to the Ryder Cup. And I think, as Con was alluding to there, that's just a, if that's just a small taste of what you get at the Ryder Cup, then the Ryder Cup is something that you definitely want.
Of course, Phil Kenyon, a couple of others, if they say it's like it's a spectacle, isn't it? It's one of the greatest things to be a part of.
Yeah, well, Kenyon even said, didn't he? It was one of the, is we asked him what's one of your greatest moments, and he just said that Ryder Cup moment, wasn't it?
Exactly. Well, actually, going on to the Hero Cup, the obviously the Continental Europe won 14.5 to 10.5.
Yeah.
Which, when Donald's going to sit down now and look straight away, he's looking who got maximum points, who played that well. Like, coming from the European side, McIntyre won 3 out of 4, and he's won round Marco Simeone before. Nicolai got 3.5 points out of 4. He's won round the Marco Simeone. That's got to be sitting. They've got to be hot favourites to be getting picked.
Them two, definitely, yeah, because you look at Nicolai and
Bobby. Nicolai grabbed it by the balls, didn't he?
He did, yeah, considering he was stepping in for Rasmus, who obviously had to pull out late.
But it might have been Rasmus, no one even know.
But if you look at Nicolai there, you know, he's also getting experience and starts on the PGA Tour, so he's got that, mixing it with those type of players anyway. Likewise, Robert McIntyre had a go. You know, Robert McIntyre's played a few majors now and performed well. He's played at the Masters, so all this experience, you know, you've got to think, like you say, them two are hot favourites going in particular, Robert McIntyre, because of his world ranking, his experience on the PGA Tour and in majors, and like you say, winning at Marco Simeone already, so he's got good feelings around there and how well he played throughout the week.
It's a springboard, isn't it? It's like, it's if you're going through a checklist, right, who are we picking? Perez and Migliozzi, they both got 3.5 points.
Yeah.
Obviously, Molinari got 3.5 points. Is Molinari in them automatic picks already? But he's not, is he?
Francesco Molinari, he's not, but you've got to think of the Italian connection, haven't you?
And you have. That's why I was going on to Migliozzi as well, because he's obviously Italian as well. It's like, yeah, you're in Rome with the feels. Like, there's four.
Yeah.
You could, if you had the team, if you had to pick the team tomorrow, you're probably, is that your team?
What, Robert McIntyre, Nicolai, and the two Italians?
Yeah.
I mean, you wouldn't say that was a weak team to take, would you?
No, but then you've got...
Not, but then he's got the home.
That's, yeah, then you've got, you're obviously, you've got Perez, who had a stunning 3.5 points out of 4. You've got Tommy, obviously, well, they're already in the picks, aren't they? But then
Tom's,
you've got
Detri,
Peters,
well, you got to think of the
Stracker.
I think Detri, at the moment, is he 17th in the FedEx? He's already earned, like, over $1 million so far, yeah, this season. He obviously qualified through the Corn Ferry Finals, got his PGA Tour card. And out of the 20 players playing in the Hero last week, 19 of them are playing this week at the HSBC. Detri's actually gone over to play the Amex. And you can't really blame him,
no,
because of the start he's having. He's thinking, you know, I could cement my PGA Tour card and maybe potentially get in the FedEx playoffs here.
He could do that, and he could do well over in Europe or in a couple of majors. And as you get more world ranking points, which gets him into
the automatic
the PGA and stuff, doesn't it? It's like he's...
Well, the way he's going at the moment and his progress, if he continues on this, like in this form and going the way he's going, because the way the automatic spots come out, he could get an automatic spot based on his world ranking position.
That's what I mean. But you're gonna, they're probably not the only way, but the more likelihood of getting more world ranking points is over in America, isn't it?
Yeah, I think
great little event, though, isn't it?
It was unbelievable, yeah, and I think it sets up nicely because what's important now, you know, we talked about the result there and European winning by what they won. But if you actually look at the level of golf that was played that week, Richard Mansell being, well, 300 gross, as Connor said. And
gross.
That's fucking hell, done it again. Being 300 and being 3 down, was it? 4 down?
3 down going on to 11th tee, yeah.
There you go. So, and not even having a putt in the first 11 holes to win a hole. That's the level that they're playing at. So, even though some players might have lost 4 and 3, 3 and 2, it doesn't mean that they've lost because they've played bad. It just means that the level of golf that was being played that week was just unbelievable.
It's phenomenal.
And the amount of the amount of matches that went down to the wire where somebody won one up, two up because they might have won 18 or halved, it could have went either way.
No, of course, yeah.
It wasn't just one way, yeah. And then obviously to the Sony Open as well, Siwoo Kim back on the...
He's a little dark horse, isn't he?
He came onto the scene in 2016, winning as a rookie. Then 2017, goes on to win the Players' Championship at the age of 21. And you're thinking, wow, this guy means business. Do you know what I mean? Big, big march up the rankings. Similar Tom. Rise to Tom Kim.
Yeah.
Really, you know, when you think about like getting on the PGA Tour, winning in your rookie season, obviously we don't know what Tom Kim's going to do this season yet, but it's the same type of climb, isn't it? Young prospect from Asia, and Siwoo Kim sort of just put the brakes on. I don't know what happened, but he sort of, I know it's hard to sustain that level. I don't know what changes he made, but his next win wasn't until the 21 Amex.
Yeah.
So, and now he's gone on to win again the following year. So he's gone back to back years. But from 2017 to 21, there was some good level of golf. He was still competing.
Well, that's it. But you look at someone who's won four times on the PGA Tour. If he ended his career now, you'd say, yeah, he had a good go.
Decent, yeah.
It's just that once you come on with that sort of thing, you're winning the players at that age. You're like, he's going to kick on and be world number one here.
Well, this is what you think. The same way that we're thinking about Tom Kim now.
You are.
I get excited, don't I?
That Hayden Buckley, he's got a bit of a mad swing on him, hasn't he?
Yeah.
Like, I got a feel for him a little bit because... What happened there coming down the stretch? Obviously, with Siwoo Kim
chipping in on 17,
getting going long and chipping in,
yeah.
And then not even that bunk, like going down 18, where he's put it left into the bunker or right into the bunker, and then it rocketed one out the bunker onto the green, 2-putt birdie. And you think birdie finished there with under any other circumstances, with any like without two unbelievable shots, it's par, isn't it?
Yeah,
if that,
yeah,
so. And he did have a putt in the end to force a playoff, didn't he? Which just burnt the edge.
Yeah.
But you know who had a great tournament there? Who birdied the last as well? Lipsky, David Lipsky.
I remember last season, he had a great start of the season.
Well, that's his best. That's his best individual finish there on the PGA Tour. Tied fourth.
Yeah.
Who else had a great finish? Englishman Ben Taylor.
Yeah, he's been doing very well, hasn't he? Progress from the Korn Ferry Tour. He's one of the ones we spoke about last week when we done the review of how they're getting on. He's one of the ones who's performing.
Yeah, well, that's his first top 10 in 47 starts.
Yeah.
So getting things in early, getting a few points in early, well, keeps you hanging around, doesn't it?
What Connor was alluding to there as well about getting in these first two Rolex events and using those points to get yourself as high up in the race, the DP World Tour rankings as quick as possible. It's actually the opposite. On the PGA Tour, isn't it? You get the opportunity. You don't play for more points, but the big boys don't turn up for the first 8 or 9 events.
Yeah.
So that's your opportunity as a Korn Ferry Tour graduate to get on the leaderboard. And I think Thomas Detry, Taylor Montgomery, and Ben Taylor, they're the three that stand out for me who've done that. They've used those first 6 or 7 events to kickstart the season and get themselves...
It's even a few that go back to like the fall season there, like Keegan Bradley or a couple of others who won. It's like you're already getting that jump, like you say ahead. But that Rolex beginning at the beginning of the year like that, like Connor said, it's 4 events in 1 if you win it.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
You've got them back to back as well.
I remember having a go about the structure last year, thinking it's a bit much in it straight out the gate.
It doesn't give.
It doesn't spread it out like the majors at one a month, and it's like you've got something, one big event each month, April, May, June, July, like they had last year.
The DP World Tour is always fighting against the PGA Tour, though, isn't it, in regards to a scheduling issue. If you want the big players to come over, you have to schedule yourself.
Well, they've done it and they haven't.
Yeah.
This week when you look at the field.
Yeah. Well, they've got a few, haven't they? Obviously,
they have.
The Hero Cup helped with them being over here, but
yeah,
I know what you mean. There's a few big names missing, and obviously a few big names that are playing in the Amex as well. Stayed in the PGA Tour. But just before we do move on, I just wanted to mention, obviously, Siwoo Kim's victory there and what type of season he's going to have. Obviously, this is great play start. Obviously, President's Cup, he beat Justin Thomas in the singles, didn't he?
Yeah.
And he's got a new caddy on the bag for this year, Manny Villegas, who's Camillo's brother.
Oh, has he, yeah?
Yeah, he's jumped on the bag this season. And it's interesting because what Villegas said was about Siwoo Kim is about how well he strikes the ball. He was like, this guy stripes it. So they just try to keep him patient, get him to believe in himself because he's got a lot of talent. Everybody knows he's got a lot of talent. He's amazing. He really hits his numbers. The thing is that he hits it so good, it makes it seem like he's putting bad because he gets so many chances, but you just can't make them all.
Like exactly like when Tommy was just striping it and everyone was blaming his putting.
Yeah.
And you speak to Kenyon, you speak to Tofino, his putting numbers are good.
Yeah.
It's just that he's got that many opportunities that, like exactly what he said, you can't make them all.
He shoots 300 or 400 and you're thinking, how does he not shoot 10 under?
He's got 18 birdie putts. It's like from 10 foot.
Yeah.
you're only making 4 of them, but it's still, it looks bad, but you're making yourself look average putter because you're putting it that close and you're hitting it that good.
And yeah, and obviously going back to what Connor said again, when he was talking about what Rich has improved on, like holing out.
Yeah.
You know, the difference of how you elevate your game. Siwoo Kim will win a lot more tournaments this year if he can hole out, because it goes to show there the level that he's playing at the moment, going from the President's Cup, his start of the season's been solid, and obviously now he's got another victory in another season. So, you know, onwards and upwards for Siwoo.
1,000,000%. Yeah. Do you know what else it's onwards and upwards for? Adam Baddeley.
Yeah.
He got the last spot into the Sony Open, and he shot 65-65 over the weekend to finish tied 7th. Like, he didn't really have much exemption going on. I think he might have had a medical exemption or his last couple of years of, we don't know what's going to happen. But a few years ago when he was first burst onto the scene, they were talking about him as the next great thing from Australia.
Yeah. No, you're right. Yeah. And obviously this is a theme that we continue to talk about, you know, these youngsters breaking onto the scene and doing so well. It seems to like there's not many that go on to have world dominance, is there?
It's the same in football, though, isn't it? Like someone comes and they do unbelievable in the youth, they get thrown in a big team, or they get thrown in a team, then they get bought by a bigger team, and they just never fulfill the potential. Because it's, as soon as the papers get older, the pressure, all the media coverage is on you. It's a different game where you can go turn up and play to doing 50 interviews before and after.
Yeah, and you hear it time and time again, and you know, we go back to the Martin Keimer story where, you know, he was world number one, unbeatable at times, and he goes and changes his swing to try and play a draw, you know.
To win the Masters.
Yeah. So when these, for one tournament a year, so when these players do get to that level, some of them think that they have to change, but then it's always going back to remembering, well, how did you get to that level? You must have been doing something right to get to that level.
Well, that's it. It all goes back really again, if you talk, really go into it. It's like Tiger was world number one, blew the field away. Like, no, he was unbeatable. And then he rebuilt his swing completely.
Yeah.
At the end of 97.
Which is a massive risk. It obviously paid off for him because obviously he's the GOAT, isn't he? But, you know, a lot of people try to not emulate what he's doing, but follow the same path. And it just doesn't work out.
No.
And you end up being worse off than if you'd have just stuck with it and grinded it out. Like, who knows? Karma may have won the Masters with a cut. It's been done before.
It's been, Dustin Johnson done it, exactly.
So, you know, it's interesting, but, you know, we'll see how Siwoo Kim gets on for the rest of the season, but there's plenty to look forward to, really kicking off the 2023 year well, aren't we?
No, it was brilliant.
Yeah. That time again?
That time again.
It's that time again, y'all. The birdie bogey bust, the birdie bogey bust, birdie bogey bust.
So my birdie, I'll go first this week.
Go on.
Even, I don't think I might have went first last week. My birdie is Nicolai coming in to the Hero Cup, being top point scorer or joint, and going out there with Francesco and just grabbing his opportunity with both hands. Like, he could have easily been upset about not getting picked, you know what I mean, not really bringing his A game.
It's a strange one, isn't it?
Probably to, you know what, probably might, like, it might be a thing, like, if you do pick them both, and then you've got to pick them both, it's like they come as a package, whereas he's putting the foot down, like, you're not a package. Like Gary and Phil. Neville.
Oh, I was thinking. Phil Mickelson, though,
well, like the Molinari's, like, they used to come as a, they come as a team. And
no,
like,
I get what you're saying.
That's a guess, like, I'm not in Donald's mind, but it's, you know, Rasmus is better, isn't he?
Yeah, it was just a bit strange, maybe it's on form, but to pick somebody like Rosner, who, you know, over the past 12 months hasn't been as good as Nicolai, has he really?
I think, but he earned the last spot, didn't he?
Making that win, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, fair enough, yeah.
But,
no, I think, and you know,
everything happens for a reason, doesn't it? And Rasmus is getting his pick. Now it's Nikolai's grabbed it by the balls, probably put Nikolai ahead of himself if they were going to be picking now.
Well, yeah, he's took his opportunity, like you say, yeah.
And, yeah, that's me birdie. I just really think that it was great for him to step up and get that so many points on the board for Continental Europe and really give Donald something to think about.
Yeah, it'd be good to see the twins at the Ryder Cup, definitely.
No,
it'd
be
yeah.
boss to see them both together, like, because by all accounts, when you speak to Andrews Carly, you speak to Connor then, the world beaters, aren't they?
Yeah. Clash, yeah.
So, what's your birdie?
It's a certain trailer we're seeing this week. Netflix.
Full swing.
Yeah. Unbelievable. You know, JT's come out and said that they've picked a mind-blowing season to do it. Obviously, Poulter says what a year for Netflix to come. And do you know, if you take a look back at...
Well, you know, that's exactly what I said last week, though, isn't it?
But if you look back at what actually happened, right, you've got, you know, Phil Mickelson's saga with his comments. Then you've got DJ.
But it'd be good if, hopefully they do, because this will go into my bogey in a second, but hopefully they do speak to Phil when he doesn't turn up to defend the PGA. Like, is he on record?
I don't think Phil's in it, though.
He's not in it at all?
No.
Why?
Well, because the selected players to follow around, didn't he?
Yeah.
So the ones out to Liv was Poulter, DJ and Brooks.
That's it.
They all signed up to it before Liv.
I see.
Not sure whether there's any more, but they're the standout ones. So Phil Mickelson wasn't signed up to this Netflix documentary, so they won't have followed him around.
So they're not getting...
So you're not going to see as much. So basically everyone that was agreed, so Rory McIlroy, Fitzpatrick, Koepka, Poulter, DJ, Tony Finau, Max Homer, Joel Damon... There's a list of...
I remember that list, yeah. Oh, so they just follow them and there's no one else. So, because when I've been watching Breakpoint, the tennis one.
Yeah, they are filming at events. So they're there at events filming, so they will capture some stuff and some words, I'd imagine.
Yeah.
But the actual...
Behind
the scenes, going to people's homes, going to get them training.
Yeah.
There's only certain people that they are following around.
I see, yeah.
Yeah.
Because when I was watching that Breakpoint one, like, they do speak to, like, they've got other people weighing in as well. So, like, they're following Nick Kyrgios, but then Andy Roddick's weighing in on it, what he thinks.
Oh, yeah. They'll have the pundits. Probably, yeah. I'd say they'd interview the likes of Faldo before he retired and all that and get their opinion.
Yeah, I see, yeah.
Randall Shambles. Whatever his name is, yeah, I can't remember his name. What's his name? Chamblee,
yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So... people like that who've had an opinion about the whole saga, I'm pretty sure that. And I hope they do, because I'll be disappointed if they don't. Because if you looking back at what's happened, just as a summary, you know, you've got Phil Mickelson and the comments that he made.
Yeah.
Then you've got DJ and others coming out of the Genesis and back on the PJ Tour saying no to Liv. Then you've got DJ and them going to Liv after they said that.
The next day.
Yeah, and then you've got, obviously, the PJ Tour and the Liv beef, which we talked about week on week between Monaghan, Norman, people getting banned, etc. Then you've got the lawsuits. Then you've got Fitzpatrick winning the US Open. You've got Rory finishing top eight in every major. You know, these are people who are going to feature. So as well as the controversy, you've got the unbelievable golf stories, because it's well documented that Fitzpatrick documents everything that he does, doesn't he?
Yeah.
He's very organized in his method. So I'm really looking forward to seeing that behind the scenes and the action, because that's all the only things that we
is
get
Fitzpatrick
to see,
on it. Yeah. Is he signed up? Yeah.
He's on it and he won the US Open yet. So
it'd
be good to see that build up to that championship and see how he went, because he'd done all the speed training as well, didn't he?
Yeah.
So there's those parts of the Netflix, that's why it's my birdie, that I'm really looking forward to. Yeah, it's just my birdie for that reason, yeah.
Yeah, well, do you know what? Why it was going to be my bogey? I'd forgot that they'd picked the list of players that they were going to follow. But you can take a half an hour clip and you can make someone look like the best person in the world, or you can clip it and make them look like the worst. It's
right.
If you want to make someone or portray something a certain way with editing, they can do it. So I'm just worried that's not going to be a fair playing field for the people who have went to Liv, or the decisions behind it, or the way the golf's, like, the whole Liv. It's going to be anti-Liv, isn't it?
Right.
And that's not me, like, that. I'm preempting that.
No, but you know what? I can sort of see that from the trailer, because it shows, Ian Poulter throwing a golf club in the locker room, throwing his dummies out the pram.
Exactly.
And then at the end, the last clip is Rory. It goes into Rory McIlroy. He goes, if I want this product, to continue, then I need to make sure that improvements are made. So it's very pro. I suppose
it's got to be. Because let's have it right. If we're going to do film us on a YouTube channel from the Bogey Boys podcast, we're not going to make ourselves look shite, are we?
No,
because we're selling golf at the end of the day. We're selling ourselves. So it's they are selling the PGA Tour. But I just hope that they do it in a fair way and let it bygones be bygones. If someone's sound and is saying good things, then let it be. Don't just show all the worst parts of because they've signed up to the live and they've gone over.
Yeah,
that's what I'm worried about.
You don't
about.
Want it to be an agenda in the background.
Yeah, but I feel like there already is.
It could be, yeah.
So that was not a bogey, and that I'm not looking forward to it because I can't, like, even just watching, only watched half an episode of that Breakpoint, and it's like, I don't even really follow tennis, and just seeing any athlete behind the scenes is great.
Yeah.
So it's going to be boss, but I just really hope that they stick to the truth and what it is instead of going down.
We'll see. Not long to wait now.
15th of February.
Yeah, we'll be in Saudi. First day we're in Saudi. It's on.
Lovely.
I'll get me login.
Right? Oh, yeah, we're flying on Valentine's Day. I forgot about that.
My bogey is just GB and Ireland losing the Hero Cup.
I don't know.
Obviously, the home team, just a bit of a sour grapes more than anything, but ultimately it was an unbelievable event. What's your bust?
My bust is, so I went into the pro shop and then I picked up the Stealth 2. Have a look at it. Picked up the ping, both 450, 500 quid, which is still expensive.
Yeah.
And then I looked at the Callaway, £600 retail.
Is that what it's going for?
£600. So you take a player, me and you, for example, decent players.
Thanks.
You want a better, nicer shaft in it. You're up to a grand there. Bag of sand. Can't be doing that every year.
No. No, you're... Yeah, it becomes an exclusive market then, doesn't it?
It's too much.
Yeah. No, you're right. The only counteract to that argument is if that is aimed at a certain market who will, because they come out so thick and fast, don't they? Every year there's a new driver and ultimately the changes that they make are not going to impact our level that much. It's going to give a great advantage for the ones who hit it bang out the middle every time. But for the likes of us who hit it well, but it might help us get it a bit straighter. But if you look at the Stealth or the Sim compared to a Stealth, there's not that much technology.
Now, I've got a Sim 2, haven't I, against the Stealth 2. Like, when you look at it, if you'd actually changed, if you took the paint off it, it's very, very similar driver.
Is the Sim carbon? It's not, is it?
No.
Is there any difference, isn't it?
No, it's Stealth went carbon, but Callaway have gone back to titanium now, haven't they? Like, they with the Big Bertha and all that.
I thought it was carbon.
Well, Callaway have gone carbon.
That's carbon, yeah.
Oh, I didn't know. I thought these went...
The new paradigm's carbon, yeah, definitely.
Oh, definitely, yeah.
You're making me want to say fact check here, but...
The only reason I'm saying that, because when we went to see Rick said that they've gone back to titanium. I didn't actually check it when I looked at the driver.
Pretty sure...
I'm just going off what Rick said.
Pretty sure the last one was titanium, but this one is carbon.
Okay.
So he's right in a sense that when the Stealth brought the carbon out, Callaway brought the titanium. But this year, they've both brought carbon out.
Okay.
So, yeah, I suppose my counteract argument to that is if they are going for that market, you know, if somebody's bought the Callaway from last year at £500 and used it for a year, they can probably part exchange that for £300.
I see.
So every year it's just, you know, I'll get the new driver next year, but it's only going to cost me £200-300. So that's an expense you're willing to pay because you've got the previous version of it and you're just upgrading. Similar to if you lease a car, do you know what I mean? You lease a car, you pay, the car's worth £25,000. You're paying £400, but then every 2 or 3 years you're getting a brand new one.
Yeah.
And that money's still going out. I suppose it's just like, if that's a potential market for this, then, but if you are somebody like you say, me and you, who've not got the latest and greatest one and you need to go into a retail shop to buy one and you want the shaft to meet your swing spec, then you are looking at close to £1,000 for it. And it's just, it is too much in that aspect. So I agree from a bus perspective, yeah.
Forge carbon is. But no, the reason why I'm saying a grand, because I was thinking, okay, if I wanted to switch the shaft I've got in my tailor-made one, it's a
transferable.
No, it's not. Well, it's it's got the tailor-made sleeve on, hasn't it? So if I was gonna, if I was basically gonna try and take my shaft, and I'd have to buy that shaft with the Callaway adapter. So say that's what, 400 quid or something, 350 plus the six. It's, might as well say, keep the 50 quid and call it a bag of sand, mate. See you later.
Keep
still
the change.
Top it off the tea.
Keep the change, yeah.
You filthy animal.
Yeah, my bust is, we spoke about the HSBC this week, and it's just Rory Hovland and Morikawa all played this event last year. They all made the cut and made the tournament what it was. Obviously, Peters went on to win it, didn't he? But a good event and good anticipation because they're there. And there is still a lot of top players there, but just them three not being there and also not playing in the Amex as well. First Rolex event of the season. If it's got something to do with the elevated events and they're saving themselves for those and they've already got the schedule booked in, that's fine. But yeah, it just would have been nice, in particular the European players like Rory and Hovland, get them over, given that they didn't play the Hero Cup for one reason or another, allowing other players. I've got no problem with that. I think the fact that Shane's there, Tiddle's there,
Tommy's
there, you know, the European Ryder Cup team's there on Ryder Cup year. You know, get them over there and just get a bit of buzz and have a bit of a chat. Luke Donald's playing, you know.
Yeah. Well, that's where you get, obviously, I think I said it to Connor before, you get the live golf, you get the money pumping in, the PGA Tour changing its structure, all the elevated events, 20 million on offer, like
world ranking points,
everything's there. You've got a new fall season where it's going to be more golf and then it's going to go into calendar year next year. So then you've got players who are probably thinking now, planning the schedule up to 2025. Thinking it's going to change. So some events, they have to miss them. Starting this event off in Abu Dhabi and then having to fly over it again, it's probably not worth it for them. But silver lining, you've got then opportunities for your likes of your Paul Warings, your Richie Mansells, your some of the local lads to win a Rolex event where it's not the biggest stack field, but you're still getting 8,000 points and millions.
No, yeah, like you say, there is positives to it. Just the reason it's my bust is, you know, you've got... I'm not complaining about the field at all. The field's good. I just think Ryder Cup year, you know, we've just had the Hero Cup. There's a bit of Ryder Cup buzz at the moment of what we can anticipate. Get a couple more of the Ryder Cup guarantee. Players like your Fitzpatrick. No, get Fitzpatrick over there. Get Rory there. Get Hovland there. And, you know, have a full Ryder Cup team playing on the DP World Tour at the beginning of 2023, get a bit of a Ryder Cup buzz going.
No, it's right. And then if you didn't have the big American events coming up, and then you had a couple of other boys like your Morikawas, like sometimes Justin Thomas comes over and plays, a few of your big American hitters playing, and then you've got a chance for a Hovland and a Rahm to beat these players, and you've got a little one up on them then going in. You're building that confidence. Like, I can beat these.
Yeah.
Like, I'm better than these. You're only really testing yourself against with that full field at the majors and the WGCs now, aren't you?
Yeah.
Which is, this is a perfect time for them to do it.
Yeah.
But it could be time for new heroes, isn't it?
That's it, yeah.
Hopefully.
Right then, moving on. Three events to look forward to this week. Obviously, stacked fields as well. We've got the LPGA Tour Tournament of Champions kicking off the LPGA Tour season. We've got the Abu Dhabi HSBC Championships, where we've had some insight into Yaz Links from Con already. And then we've got the Amex Championship to conclude the show. So let's start with the LPGA Tour Tournament of Championships. It's, as I say, the inaugural event of the LPGA Tour season. Starting a little earlier than usual, as I mentioned, the next event is not until the 23rd of February.
Big gap there, isn't it?
It is, yeah, but I think it's because the Aramco ladies event is matching the men's purse of 5 million, which you mentioned last week.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you look at this purse this week, it's $1.5 million. And this is the Tournament of Champions event. So they're not going to turn down the opportunity. So I think it makes sense for the LPGA Tour to not put a conflicting event on that one, allowing the players to go over. And then obviously they can return for a full season then.
But it's like you're talking nearly a month, aren't you, to the Saudi one, to the Aramco?
Yeah, well, it's a month, isn't it, till the Saudi one from this week.
So that's what I mean. So it's like months. It's a long time, isn't it?
Yeah, they start playing. Yeah, but if you look at the players that are there that playing in that event, it's obviously tournament of champions. So everybody that played won a LPGA Tour tournament last season, which includes your podcast guests Charlie Hull and Gemma Driver, doesn't it?
They
won last season. Daniel Kang is defending champion from last year, and it's at Lee Nona Golf Club in Orlando, Florida, again, which it has been since its commencement. 6,600 yards, par 72.
Nice.
Yeah, so looking forward to watching that and seeing the ladies' season kick off and see how the likes of Charlie and Gemma get on this season, kick on from...
Nice for them to kick off with a little win. Yeah. Get them in the Tournament of Champions next year. Straight away.
Straight back in there.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then obviously talking about first, it's the first Rolex series event of the season, which we briefly spoke about. Yas Link, 7,425 yards, par 72.
Monster. Mm-hmm. But like, even with the way they've got the, Connor was talking there, and obviously Michael Howey, another podcast guest plug, has got the tee boxes running 10.5 on the stimp. Like, what is that about?
Yeah, it's just it's the added element, isn't it? So when you're standing on the tee, and it probably feels like you're standing on a green.
Yeah,
you know,
you probably don't even want to take a divot out of it, do you?
Definitely not.
No. I'm gonna drop off this. Alex Levy's back after 11 months with injury, being out with injury.
Alex Levy,
back playing at this event. I fancy Nicolai to take it down this week.
Do you, yeah?
Just going off that form.
Bit of form.
Got a bit of grit in his teeth now, coming on. I do fancy him to take it down.
But what's going to be good is, obviously, like I said before, 19 of the 20, Tony Dietrich, who's gone over to play the Amex, are playing. So they're fresh from good vibes, good feelings in the same country. You know, acclimatised to the conditions, just going straight to another event. So I think you're right. I think one of the 19 from the Hero Cup are likely to win this week, I think, if I'm honest. There is a return for Jen Hung Wang? Yeah, he's been away on military duty for the last 18 months and returned.
Is he one of the Koreans?
Yeah. He burst onto the scene in 2016. He won 3 DP World Tour events over in the season 16 and 17. Then spread his time across Asian Tour and DP World Tour. And then for the last 18 months, he's been a military service, and now he's back on the DP World Tour. So be interesting.
Just straight in Rolex event, yeah?
Well, he played a number of Asian Tour events. He played in the International Series events last season, but this is his first one back on the DP World Tour. He played in he missed the cut at the Australian Open as well, with Cam Smith and all that played in. So he has been
playing,
competing and playing since his return, but this is his first return back onto the DP World Tour season. He's still only 26 years of age, but be interesting to see how he kicks on from here as well. Another unbelievable golfer with great talent.
It's mad that military service, isn't it? Remember I was telling you about the two Korean lads who joined Formby Hall?
Yeah.
And then one, Jin, his name was, and he was there. Next minute, he was just gone. I said to Pete, I was like, where's Jin? He's like, he's had to go to military duty.
Yeah.
Just got called and he's gone.
When it's time to say, when it's your time, yeah. You've got to go and serve for the country, haven't you?
Yeah.
So got the Thomas Peters defending champion. He's playing with Shane Lowry and Tommy Fleetwood. Alex Noren, Seamus Power and Robert McIntyre, another one to look at. Rosner's getting a chance to play with Luke Donald and Yannick Paul as well. Yannick Paul, another one who had a good season last season. Obviously got himself a victory. He was one of the ones with Rich who finished in the top 10 of that order of merit to get a US Open spot. So he's another one who has got the talent that could potentially break through and could be a surprise package for the Ryder Cup. You just don't know.
Yeah. It'd just be... Just throw another little curveball into golf with like one of the live boys go and win a Rolex event. I know it's been done by Ortega, hasn't it now? Ortega's a bit like of a live, but he's nice and, you know, and really like gives him any stick for it. Whereas like, imagine like a Reed, Patrick Reed one, and it just...
Well, you've got Poulter, Stenson, Horsfield, Westwood, Reed, Wiesberger, Bland.
They're out of any of them, like Reed's the one.
Yeah, it's... be interesting to see how he
unfolds. Who do you think is going to win?
Rich Mansell.
Do you, yeah? The harder.
I don't think so, no. Head? I think it's head, yeah. Only for the fact that he's played enough tournaments with this type of field, and I think he'll have learned a lot from being in and around the caliber of players he was with last week.
Yeah.
And he's out in Abu Dhabi. He stayed there. You know, it's not like he's had to do a lot of travelling. His talent speaks for itself.
No, of course.
The only thing that stopped him winning last season was potentially a couple of bad breaks, or just that inexperience.
Yeah, just that, like, obviously you say people have a bad 9 holes or a bad round, but it was more just a couple of mistakes, like, or a bad Sunday, wasn't it, where he's just...
Yeah, like, you know, I think I remember on the back nine, he hit a tee shot, a bit of rain off the tees, normally a strong point. He hit one tee shot, a bit of rain, and ends up in a gorse bush and has to take a drop. Like, if it lands anywhere else on the course, especially at the old course, it's wide open, isn't it?
Yeah.
There's just bushes lying around. He ends up going in one of the bushes. So, you know, little things like that where if you ride your luck and you get something.
You need skill, and you need the breaks as well, don't you? Like, it's most people who win, you'll look back at 3 or 4 shots and you think that could take you from missing the cut, that if it does a different bounce or it goes a different way. I was meant to ask kind of like, was there any, obviously when I said to him, is there any elevated practice or work ethics, like from the Euro Pro straight up, or should have asked a bit more specifically, is there any extra work ethic as soon as you knew that British Open play and the US Open place up for grabs off them 4 events? Because it's got to add that extra bit of fire, hasn't it? Like, you go into these 4 events thinking, like, if I do well here, I'm in the US Open, like, it's just massive, isn't it?
Well, yeah, like, goes back to that point as well, you know. Liam James is his coach, and Liam James is the coach of your likes of Westwood and players like that, you know. So if you want more time with Liam James, then he's going to be at the DP World Tour event. You need to get yourself on that. So that's like added motivation. If I want to be in and around them players, it's everything. At that level, you're not striving for the money, because we all know at the third tier and probably midway through the second tier on Challenge Tour, it's not career earning money. You can't retire.
No.
Playing on them tours all your life. You need to get to the top level. So you're right, everything builds around that, doesn't it?
But then the stars just aligned at the Belfry there. Connor back, started working with Mike, got blessed by you. And then now look at him.
The bogey
look at him go.
Blessing is real.
Look at him go.
Nothing to do with his talent, Mike.
No. Nothing at all.
He smokes it.
But
his time will come, and you know.
You think this is it? This is the week?
Why not this week?
Why not? No, listen, why not?
Yeah. Amex then?
Yeah.
Yeah, defending champ is not invited. Ah, man.
It's a shame, isn't it?
Should have been our bust, that, shouldn't it, really? Thinking about it.
Yeah, well, yeah. Well, do you know what it is?
Yeah, there's the bust.
There's the bust. Yeah. Hudson Swafford.
It's only a piece of shit putting contest anyway, isn't it?
Was that this event, was it?
Yeah.
That's great.
Walked off. But he's back. He's returning to the piece of shit putting contest, so. You know,
Mr. Sultan's putting out.
This is the start of the West Coast swing, isn't it? The Amex. They play 3 tournaments in this swing, and it's across 8 golf courses.
No, yeah, because you've obviously got 3 this week. You've got the PGA West Stadium course, you've got the La Quinta Country Club, and then you've got the PGA West Nicholas Tournament course.
Yeah.
All par 72s, all over 7,000.
It is a nice, it's a nice tournament, this, because you obviously got the celebrities there, haven't you?
It's Goldberg playing.
Blast from the past, that, when he threw the fashion designer straight into the lake.
Great, that.
Unbelievable. Essentially, it's a bit of a pro-am, isn't it? So the amateurs will play with them for the first 3 days across those 3 courses, and then they'll have, obviously, the final shootout on the Sunday for the professionals to see who's crowned champion. So, Brian Gay, Bill Haas, Andrew Landry and Adam Long are all returning as past champions of the event, as is John Rahm, obviously. But you know who's had the most wins in this event since 1960?
Arnold Palmer.
Yeah, 5 wins.
Really?
Yeah, it is.
What a guess that was. That was out the back of the noggin.
Did
that.
Not expect you to get that.
5 of the top 10 players in the world are here, so obviously world ranking points up for grabs. Xander Schauffele, who pulled out of the Tournament of Champions, is playing. So he must have nursed that back injury.
Yeah.
Scotty Scheffler, Patrick Cantlay.
John Rahm,
there's your 5, isn't it?
Yeah. No, it's
Teagala and Cameron Young are the rookies of the year, and then Tony Finau and Sam Burns. So there's serious caliber knocking about.
There is, and this is probably the first event that the Corn Ferry rookies and players coming from the Corn Ferry, like I said, Thomas Detry's come over, Taylor Montgomery's having another knock on the PGA Tour, but this time
he was flying. When he threw two rounds, Taylor Montgomery was one behind, and then obviously faded off.
Third round, but yeah,
still up there, then about it, adding
top
to that.
12, yeah, I think he's played eight events, made eight out of eight cuts, and had seven top 15 finishes.
It's good that.
So you know he's really cemented himself as one of the rookies of the year so far. So
1,000,000%.
It'll be interesting to see how he goes this week, knowing that you know you have got five of the top 10 players in the world competing. How does that change his mindset? Do you know what I mean? Does he feel like he belongs there?
Yeah.
So be interesting to see how it unfolds. Who have you?
Who do I think?
Yeah.
I think Tony Finau, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Who do you?
John Ram.
Yeah.
Piece of shit putting contest.
Well,
so we'll see how it all goes.
So have you done your predictions for the three tours?
Go on, you go first. What have you got?
Well, for the FedEx, I think that Rory McIlroy is going to get it done. I think he'll win the whole thing, yeah.
Again, back to back. The only reason I don't think Rory, because I think there'll be a lot of...
Well, that's what you don't think. I want to know what you do think. Go on, what?
No, I just think with everything that's going on this season, with the Netflix documentary, as mad as that sounds, but I think once the Netflix documentary is released...
Mate, if they do it this year, they're going to do it every year.
I just mean this is going to be the first time it's going to be released, so the headlines are going to be nuts, and he's going to be asked about it every week.
Yeah.
And I just don't know with Rory, sometimes he can get a bit of a cob on, can't he?
Yeah.
I just don't know whether that could potentially play into his game. I hope it doesn't. I mean, I really want Rory to win the Masters this year. I want him to get that Grand Slam.
There's only one person that you want to win the Masters, mate.
Tiger.
Yeah. Seen a meme saying like
Tom Kim's winning.
I've seen a meme saying like I'm just trying to figure out what men want, and then like someone's tweeted or put on Facebook, and then the girls put on the men want Tiger to win another major.
That's exactly. So was it you telling me the story about there was a meme and it was just the sound of heels?
Oh yeah,
sound of heels. Is that you told me that?
Like, all men want to hear this sound. It's like. And then goes wrong, and he goes whoosh, whoosh, whoosh.
That's what men want to hear.
Yeah.
Who do I think will win the FedEx this year?
John Ram.
Yeah. I think he's had a couple of seasons with Callaway now. I think his putting's improved. And, you know, won the Century Tournament of Champions. I think this is his.
Like, there's no one going to say to you, he's not going to win it. He's probably one of the favourites. It's not like a.
No, but there is other people you could pick, yes. But I just think. I don't just think he's.
You're going on record with this, by the way. So,
I'm happy. Yes, and if he has a bad season, I'll stand there. What's interesting is that we've both picked European players.
Yeah.
Do we not fancy the Americans? No. JT?
I don't know.
No, me neither. Moving on.
Who do you think is going to win the DP World Tour?
John Ram.
Okay. Do you think John Ram's going to win both?
Rory did.
Yeah. Okay. I think Tommy.
Okay.
I think Tommy's like living over in Dubai now. He's settled. He's won that tournament at the back end of last year. He's got like a bit of a more senior role in the Hero Cup. Cemented in the Ryder Cup already. I just think that he's going to kick on and probably win a handful and a major this year. And the DP World Tour Championships.
That'd be fucking unreal, wouldn't it?
His kid's a bit older now, innit? Like,
yeah.
Tommy Fleetwood's going to hit this one.
Brilliant, that one.
So, yeah, I just think Tommy, yeah. I think Tommy's going to have his best year to date.
You're right, yeah. And that does, a lot of that plays into it, doesn't it? You know, having
your personal life's got a massive to do with it. If you've got to, like,
traveling back and
John Rams, like, he's just an anomaly, really. But, like, if you've got a newborn baby, like, you're usually up the wall, aren't you?
Fucking right, yeah.
So you think John Rahm. So who do you think is going to win live then, John Rahm?
I fancy Neiman, you know.
Neiman, yeah.
I do. Yeah, I mean, I don't know, it's hard to go against Cam Smith in it, but I do. I think Neiman's going to win the individual this year. I think the first one's in Mexico, isn't it?
Mm.
Yeah, I think he will, Neiman. I'm gonna stick with it.
Yeah, I was gonna go with Eugenio Chichara as like a little bit of a like wide curveball, but yeah. I'm gonna go with Cam Smith.
Yeah.
Gotta be the favourite, Annie.
So Ram Ram, Neiman, Rory, Tommy,
Smith.
Smith.
Yeah.
Let's see what comes of it.
As we say,
yeah. No, but well and truly back into the swing of things. Big thanks to Connor for coming on, and obviously really busy with what he's got going on the DP World Tour this season. So we appreciate the insights and the information, and obviously we'll be getting Connor on more this season, hopefully, as the season progresses and they start getting some success. But that's us for another week. We hope you've enjoyed the show, and we'll catch you all again soon.
Ciao.
Thank you.